this church and many of you, because you're associated with those who have been down to Titusville, in some way God just gives us a special love and a special concern for those who come our way to the retreats. And although there are many that come, we find that it's important to us how you're getting along and what you're doing and how the Lord's blessing and what new things are happening in your lives and in the ministries that you're related to. So it's just real special. That's why I can honestly say it's real special for me to be here. And I wanted to tell you something right from the outset. In case you're not, you don't realize it, this is a select group here tonight, and you're part of that select group. See, I pray that the Lord would just bring the ones He wanted. And I pray that He would not allow anything to hinder those of you He wanted to come. But it was just as important, and I prayed on the other hand that He wouldn't let anybody come that wasn't supposed to be here. Because, you know, a lot of times if we just go to something because it sounds like fun or because somebody's twisting our arm behind our back and it's the only way to, you know, get them to leave us alone. If those are the reasons that we go, a lot of times we leave and we know we've just wasted our time. Well, that's why God knew who was ready. God knew what He'd be sharing this weekend, and He knew who He wanted to hear those things. And only He knows the special reason that I was asked to come and that you are here. But I think that if we are to find out, if it was that important to God that He went to all the trouble He did to arrange for us to be here, and don't think, I don't know, that God had to go to a lot of trouble to get you mothers here with little children that you had to leave at home, or rearrange some of your girls' schedules, or, you know, there's a lot involved for mothers to get away and women to get away for an evening and a full day the next day. So we must not take it lightly that we're here. Now, as I was praying about God's order and plan for our time together, I was really impressed that it was going to be important that we spend just a few minutes finding out from Him why you're here. You know, we go through a lot of busy activity, making all the final arrangements and finally getting that dish together and grabbing it and tearing out the door just in time to get there. And a lot of times we're halfway through a meeting before we ever, you know, kind of get together again. And I think the Lord wants us to spend the first few minutes, not with you listening to me, but you talking with Him and you finding out from Him why you're here. Now you say, how can I do that? Well, let me suggest three different things that you do as you talk to Him. Three things you talk to Him about. First, ask Him where you are tonight in your spiritual life. Where are you? Are you just still searching and trying to decide if the Christian life is what you want? Are you not real sure yet if you want to buy the Christian life for yours? Or are you inside the door and wondering if you hear people talk about going all the way and you're scared to death of that? Where are you? Are you so convinced this is the only way to go until you are ready to go, full speed ahead? That's good, but watch out. Because it's easy to take off in the wrong direction. So find out. What about your prayer life? Maybe you're at a place that you realize maybe just this past week you look back and you say, my goodness, I've been praying about those things for ages and not a thing's happened. Half of them are in worse shape than when I started praying. Are you at a place that your faith needs to be strengthened? I don't know. Nobody knows. Not even your best friend. But God does. So, if this weekend is to mean what He intended when He planned it, we need to give Him our attention, give Him a few minutes to just speak to our heart where we are right now. Ask Him specifically to speak to you where you are. And then one of the most important things, I would ask you before you say amen, I would ask you to commit yourself to be obedient before He ever says a word. You know, it's really, we waste an awful lot of time in our Christian lives going to church, listening to God's message, and then deciding whether we're going to be obedient or not. That's a waste of time. We're so much further down the road if it is predetermined before we ever read the word, hear a message, listen to a tape, that if God speaks to me, I will be obedient. Just settle it. You'll be glad you did. Where am I? Lord, I'm trusting you to speak to me at that point. Yes, Lord. I choose right now to be obedient. Whatever you lead me to do. Okay. Now, you've just gotten settled. Things are nice and quiet and still. And I'm going to ask you to get up and just sift out around the auditorium or up in the choir or maybe in a side room or something. I don't mean you've got to be alone, but just turn yourself in a direction away from others so you will just be conscious of you and the Lord, whatever you have to do that. This can be the most important time that we have all within. So let me look now and see what time it is. I'd like for us to be back in our seats, ready to go again at 9:45. That'll give you 15 minutes. Okay? Thank you. coming, I'll just say that for those of us that found that an awful long time, that's where the Lord, that's one of the places the Lord's going to speak to you concerning your time alone with Him. And because I'll never forget, I'll just talk until they come in. I'll never forget when I first was interested in developing my prayer life. Once I was in, my husband's from Jamaica, and his mother's a precious Christian, just a dear friend of mine, and he had some aunts that really loved the Lord too, and so when we would go down there, we would always look forward to times that we could pray together. And I'll never forget one year before I came home, one of the aunts said, "Let's just covenant between us that this year we're not going to ask for a thing until we've spent at least 10 minutes thanking the Lord for His goodness." And I very glibly said, "Oh, that sounds like a great idea." Well, that was because I didn't know much about praise, and I found out that was one of the hardest commitments I ever made in my life. When I got back home and I started my quiet time with a 10-minute time of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. Listen, the first few times I'd pray 3 or 4 minutes and I'd think it'd been, my 10 minutes was surely up. But I just started, and so in my desperation, I began finding songs in the songbook that I could read to the Lord, and I just changed the pronouns to I and you, you know, and because I found out how little I really knew about praising and thanking the Lord. My concept of prayer was go to the Lord, tell Him what you need, and it was so limited to give me prayers. That was one of the stretchingest experiences I ever had in prayer. But I'm so grateful for it. And anything that can teach us more about how to best use time, precious time with Him, is invaluable to us. Okay. I believe most of us are probably back at by now, and I'm believing God, whether you heard Him in the last 15 minutes or not, I'm believing Him that before you leave, every single soul that's here will have heard from God. Now, whether it's through me or someone else, tonight or tomorrow at breakfast, break time, when you're alone with the Lord, I don't know when it's going to be, but there's not a one of us that will leave here that has not heard from the Lord. And I'm praying, and I'm also trusting Him that as you hear from Him, you will receive what He says. Go home to make it a part of your way of life. And you know what? The next time you ask your husband to keep the kids so you can go to a prayer retreat, they'll be glad to, because they'll see what's happened since the last prayer retreat, and they'll be all ready to do whatever it takes. They might even be wanting to know when there's a men's retreat so they can get in on it. No, I really believe God's going to be here with us this weekend. So expect Him, not through me or not, but expect Him, however He chooses to do it. Since you do not know me, do, I wouldn't blame you. If you took anything I said just with a grain of salt. Because it's very natural for us to want to know something about the person that speaks to us. And it does have a way of making a difference. And whether we feel it's valid or worth listening to or not. Well, the first thing I want to do is share some of my testimony. Not to convince you that I'm worth listening to, but to let you see that I'm just like you are. And to let you see that God really can meet us right where we are. It doesn't matter where we are. The miracle of it is that we are all so unique. Every last one of us is just special and unique. No two alike in one respect. And yet, we are every last one just alike. As far as our needs and our concerns, God has just made us all alike in many respects. And you'll find out that just because I'm a preacher's wife, that doesn't mean that I'm made out of any different ingredient than the rest of you are. I grew up in a Baptist church and went to Sunday school. When I was 12 years old in the junior department, one Sunday morning the Sunday school teacher said something that really disturbed me. The lesson was on the second coming. And she said, "You need to be ready because the Lord could come back anytime." Well, I'd always been in Sunday school and I thought I was ready. But it sounded like from what she said, you had to do something to get ready. And I had just assumed, because I'd always been in church, that I was a Christian. And that was real disturbing to me. And I thanked the Lord for Sunday school teacher that God was able to use to disturb me and let me know that you can sit in church all your life. And that's not enough. So in my heart, I began questioning, well, what do you do to get ready? I want to be ready. I don't want to not be ready when Jesus comes again. And all those things began whirling. And it was soon after that that I went to Vacation Bible School. And those of you that have been in Vacation Bible School know that the last day, there's someone that shares how to become a Christian. And that's the reason that I just don't let anybody in my earshot complain about working in Bible school, because it was during that service in Vacation Bible School that I gave my heart to the Lord. So when it comes time to get workers for Vacation Bible School, I warn them. I say, don't let me hear anybody griping and complaining about having to teach those kids in Bible school, because it was in Vacation Bible School that I came to know the Lord. And needless to say, it's very special to me. I was a junior in high school, though, before I ever heard about surrendering your life to the Lord. The Lord has a plan for your life. I never heard anything like that before. But right away, I knew that it just made good sense. If God made me for a certain thing, then why spend my life trying to find out what it was? Because I knew a lot of people that seemed to have never found out. And so at that time, I surrendered my life the best I knew to the Lord. It was his, as far as I was concerned. And from that time on, I really believed that he had a plan, and that's what I wanted. So it was real interesting. And it's one reason I love to share with young people, younger than we are here, but you can pass it on to your daughters. I grew up in, my father had died when I was 9, and things were pretty hard to come by at our house. And the very idea of me going to college was was actually impossible at that time. Actually, you figure it and you plan and you know there's no way. But my plans were to work a year and then go to college. Well, one day I was sweeping the front porch, and just as clear as a bell, the Lord said to me that I was to plan to go to college that year. Well, I said, okay, Lord, you know I don't have the money to go to college. There's no way, because Mother and I had figured up one side and down the other, and there was no way. So I'll make plans to go to college, and the money part will be your responsibility. I remember just saying, that's yours, and I'll get busy making plans. And that's exactly what I did. You see, wherever you are in life, this is why I said while I'm, the thoughts of you being afraid of God's plan is a lie from the devil. You just know that he is trying to deter you from God's best. And let me assure you, God's best is so much, so far ahead of anything you could plan, till it's not even worth your time struggling with it. The reason I say that is because God knew that if I had worked that year and gone to college, I'd have missed Peter Lord. Because he was a senior in college that year. And no telling where he'd have been by the time I got there. And God knew that a part of his perfect plan for my life was to be a part of Peter Lord's life. So I could tell you all night long how from that decision when I was a junior in high school to receive God's plan for me, how his plan is so much better than anything you could possibly come up with. Don't you wrestle with the lie of Satan that would cause you to be fearful, apprehensive of just throwing yourself on the Lord for whatever his plan is. Just turn loose. Turn loose completely. He loves you. And in his love, there's no way that you can outplan him. So, that's what I found. I had been very sincere in my commitment to the Lord at 12. And then when I surrendered my life to him, it was really a meaningful experience. Then, when I found out I was going to be a pastor's wife, I committed myself to being the best pastor's wife anybody ever had. I was determined I was going to be the best pastor's wife coming. Well, I hadn't been married about 13 months, and along came number one. 13 months later, along came number two. Well, needless to say, my commitment was added to being the best mother anybody ever had. You know, just, boy, that was so important. I had to be the best mother. as I share this, I always feel, well, some people are back there thinking, well, John is just trying to convince us what a fine Christian she is. That's not what I'm doing. What I'm really doing is sharing with you a part of my problem. And you'll see what I mean by that soon. It was in the midst of being the best Christian I could be and the best pastor's wife and the best mother that I began having physical problems. I would black out when I'd, many times as I'd start across the room before I'd get to the door, I'd black out. And Peter was in seminary at the time, and when he found out what was happening, I ended up in one of those horrible New Orleans clinics. If you've ever been to one of those clinics, you know why I call it horrible. I tell you, they start at the head of your, the top of your head, and they go to the bottom of your feet. And it was a really humiliating experience for me. Because you see, rather than ending in some surgeon's office, where they could take out my problem, I ended up in the psychiatrist's office. Can you imagine how humiliating that was to this, to the best Christian I knew? Here I was busy telling everybody, Jesus is the answer to your problem. The answer, and I believed that with all my heart. I really believed it. And I was very sincere and I was very committed to what I knew about the Lord. Well, if that's true, what was I doing in the psychiatrist's office? Didn't all really make good sense for a while. It wasn't until after I'd had the shock treatments, after I'd had insulin treatments, and was recovering, that my mother-in-law's again that the Lord was finally able to speak to the problem. One morning, we were just visiting together, and as I think about it, only God Almighty could take a dumb statement like my mother-in-law made and use it to begin to transform a life. We were just goofing off, you know. And she made a statement that went something like this. She says, you know, Johnny, when you get to heaven, you're not going to get a bit of credit for being sweet. You're just naturally sweet. What she was saying was, when I get to heaven and I get credit for being sweet, it's going to be something, sure enough, because it wasn't natural for me. But what she didn't know for a long, long time, when she said that, something inside of me stood up about 12 feet tall and said, I better get credit for it. Nobody knows how hard it is. Well, when she left, I began thinking about those things I jolly well better get credit for. And as I began mulling over those things, suddenly the day of honesty dawned on me. And I remember saying, I was appalled when I found out how I was really thinking. I didn't know I felt like that down inside. I had not been hypocritical all those years. I had just some way always managed to dodge being honest with myself about myself. I could have told you what my husband's problem was, and I could have helped you with yours. Some way I was always just a little too busy with everybody else's problem, and I managed to let the truth about mine pass me by. So I prayed a prayer like this, and that's what I'm entitling tonight's session, The Three Prayers That Changed My Life. The first prayer was when I invited Christ into my life. The second prayer was, Lord, show me what you see when you look at me, rather than what I think I am and what other people think I am. I began to realize, maybe as the Bible said, I had deceived myself about myself. You know, the Bible says our hearts are deceitfully wicked. Well, that was the beginning of a whole new understanding about life. The first thing the Lord did, as we took a walk through my life from one area to another, He showed me that my heart was full of resentment and bitterness, and I had not even recognized it. All that bitterness and resentment was aimed at my husband. And yet, if you had asked me that very morning, say, Johnny, how are things with you and Peter? I'd have said, well, everything's fine. You don't hear us arguing or anything, do you? Or, you know, we don't fight. But God showed me that He wasn't impressed with what I did in our relationship. What He was concerned with was the attitude of my heart. And my attitude, I finally was able to admit to myself, was very resentful. You see, one of the things that came to my mind that day that I better get credit for was that pile of dirty underwear that I found in the bathroom every morning when I went in there. He didn't know that in my heart I thought, well, who does he think I am anyway? Rachel, the maid? You see, Peter was brought up in Jamaica, and they have a different lifestyle, and Rachel the maid had run around behind him all his life and picked up that dirty pile of underwear. So by that time I decided he just traded maids or something. Well, it was hard for me to admit all the many things that I was resentful of. But the Lord began showing me one right after another how my attitude in my heart, when He looked at me, He saw bitterness. Well, what He had me do was get a pencil and a piece of paper And he had me write down those things that he showed me in the different areas as we went. I didn't understand at first why that was important. But the state of mind I was in, my mind was so confused and it was so full of resentment and so full of bitterness until I would not have been able to sort it all out. I just had a big mass of confusion up there, of hurt. And God said, put down bitterness. And as I began listing the things the Lord showed me, that big mass of confusion began to unravel. It is important that you be specific in dealing with God. Very important that you be specific. It's important to Him, because He knows that you need to be specific. Okay. So the next thing that He showed me was how full of fear I was. Well, you see, just like when He showed me the resentment, I had a good excuse. My first response to the Lord when He put His finger on resentment was, but Lord, I wouldn't be resentful if He didn't act the way He did. But see, I hadn't had enough dealing with God on this level to realize that was a waste of time to give Him an excuse for something that He convicted you of. That's a waste of time. So, still being a novice at this relationship, when He put His finger on fear, I said, well, Lord, everybody I know's got fear. Surely that's just a weakness. And I had all, you know, I just had, as a matter of fact, I just didn't really like it very well. For Him to put His finger on fear as if fear was a sin. I mean, after all, everybody I knew had some kind of fear. Surely you'd put that in the weakness category. He did not take His finger off. It didn't matter how many good reasons I came at Him with. No way. Until I said, Lord, show me how fear is a sin. And He brought that verse to mind. Whatsoever is not of faith is what? Sin. S-I-N. And He showed me that I could have faith to believe Him for everything in the book. But the area I had fear in that area, I was full of unbelief. And unbelief, which is equal to fear, is S-I-N. Well, I was so dumb, I kept trying to hang on to that fear. As if that was, you know, well, I kept trying to hang, and the Lord showed me, well, hang on to it if you choose, but I have provided a way for you to be free from fear. I could not imagine life free from fear. I wondered how you'd live free from fear, you know? Because you see, the kind of fear, as a matter of fact, I'll say, the kind of fear I had always taken it as a pretty good trait of mine. My fear was fear of failing. And after all, that's what caused me to dig in there and make sure I did that thing right. I wasn't about to stop until I'd done it right. Wasn't that a good quality to have? Yeah. no release from the Lord's conviction until I was able to accept his opinion about fear. Call it what he called it. Sin. Put it on my list. You see, this fear thing, I began to see, was indeed a root that had spread into so many areas of my life. I couldn't believe it. For one thing, I came to see that many of the things that I did in the guise of being a good wife, you know, really were motivated by fear of failing. One of the dreads of my life, one of the things that would have been most horrible, one of the worst things that could have happened to me would be to hear Peter say sometime, "Well, I'd have made it if it hadn't have been for her." You see, I'd heard once when we were still in school together, heard a man say in chapel one morning, "Listen, girls," because there were a lot of preacher boys at that school, "you can make these preacher boys or you can break them." Panic from that minute on. To have ever been the cause for him to have failed was the worst thing I could think of. So, buddy, I wasn't going to miss a cue. Under the guise of being a good wife, many things were done. Not that I didn't love my husband, but the motivating force behind a lot of what I did was fear of failing as a wife. Maybe that's a little confusing at this stage. Well, I'll confuse you a little more and then we'll straighten it out. Because the next thing he put his finger on was fear of failing as a mother. And oh my. When I began to see all the things I did in the guise of being a good mother, and yet the motivation behind it, love them as much as I did, much of what was done was out of fear of failing them. Again, one of the worst things that I could imagine would one day just happen to be in the wrong place and hear somebody say, "You know, it does look like the preacher's wife could teach her kids how to behave." You know, the very idea of ever hearing that, that was strong motivation, I'll tell you. And then while I was thinking along those lines, I realized the truth, too, was that one day I hoped to hear someone say, "My, what a godly mother those children must have." One thing I was, as the Lord was dealing with me about this, and I kind of got panicky because there was so much about him I didn't know and am still learning. That's what's so glorious. But I thought, well, Lord, if I just turn my children loose, turn them over to you, and just everything I do, if it's all motivated by love, does that mean I won't discipline them anymore? You know? Because I tell you, my first two children, they knew how to dot each I and they knew how to cross each T. They knew how to, from little, they knew how to pick up their toys. They knew how to check off, even as little ones, they were checking off lists every morning. do you know? God showed me so much wrong at the center of that for me at that time. And this is why, well,